All righty. Well, how you going? You enjoying the cooler, slightly cooler weather? I certainly am. What a great week to start our series on Encounters. This is going to be a bit different, just a warning. There's going to be some video clips, and we are hoping that the technical stuff works well. Okay, so bear with us. Let's see how we get through. But there is also going to be a chance to respond, to make a commitment, and to be prayed with. You might have noticed if you've been here often that we've sort of rearranged the furniture a bit. We've now got a prayer zone over there and the sharing tables over there. That's an encounter thing, but we'll see how we go this morning. So what's the key idea of this morning? Well, you know, I want to tell you that actually part of being a human being is that we are God's children. He has made us. He wants to speak with us. He wants relationship with us. And so therefore, in that sense, although there are different times and seasons, but in that sense, encounters with God should be expected. We should expect encounters with God. And we're going to look this morning at Mary. I know it's like it's not a Christmas sermon, but we're going to talk about Mary anyway. We're going to look at Mary's encounter. Do you have that person in your household that really loves to like hide behind doors and stuff and jump out and scare people? Josh went through a phase about 6 months, probably a year or so ago. Every single time he came back from his Nana and Pops, this is my father-in-law's fault, he would just learn to like scare people. And so he'd be constantly hiding behind doors and windows and just like jump out and boo. I pretended to be scared. Alicia, not as much. But there's that kind of scary. And then there's like not the scare of like sudden stuff, but sometimes other things are scary, like receiving news. I got a bit scared when I jumped on the scales after Christmas and looked out at the number that it dialed up. This story that we have in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 onwards, it's not a story of someone, of a child, I should say, jumping out of nowhere, but an angel, in a sense, coming out of nowhere, an angel appearing to Mary. So it's sudden, but it could also be seen to have some very, very, in a sense, scary news for Mary. Let's have a read of it together. In verse 26, it starts, "In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel said to her, and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" Now, she's plainly shocked because we get in verse 29, "Mary was greatly troubled." I probably would be too, "at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be." I'll bet she did. "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David," David, who was a great king in the history of Israel, "and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." We'll keep going on the next one. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit would come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." That's an overwhelming piece of news. What is happening here could be considered a scary time for Mary. An angel appears, that's scare number one. And it's funny, like all through the Bible, when there's angels appearing, often you'll get this, "Don't be afraid." It's like they know that, you know, when they appear, they freak people out. Don't be afraid. But also the message could be said to be scary. It's a message about giving birth, which, hey, joyful, yes, but scare number two. As we know, Mary is a young virgin. She is engaged to Joseph. That's a big deal. That's a big deal in the ancient world. And so she knows that there is going to be questions asked. You notice how, like, in all the Hallmark cards of Christmas, where's all the family relations? There's wise men, there's shepherds. Where's the family? They're not there. It's controversial. And yet we see something special about Mary that seems to help her to process this initial shock. We're going to watch a clip, as I said before. Enjoy this little clip.
Mary, from what we can tell, especially from the beautiful song that is recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke, is that she's a very devout Jew. She seems to know Scripture well because there are echoes of the Old Testament in what she says. She is looking for God to act, as many Jews were at this time. So I think we would imagine her to be overall a devout person with a genuine love of the God of Israel. Mary, Jesus's mother, was born in Nazareth, and that's where she raised Jesus, so it's her home area. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but raised mainly in Nazareth. Mary, from what we can tell, especially...
So you nearly got it twice. So that's Mary. She's expecting something, and it somehow enables her to process this news. I want to start our sort of, I guess, points this morning by saying encounters, they can get in the way of our plans. I know Mary was expecting God to act, but I don't think she was expecting God to act in this way. Encounters, they get in the way of our plans, and that means that to be highly favored, it does not equal an easy ride. I'm hearing some laughter. Some of you have noticed this. Do you remember a time when you were bumped off course? Maybe you had a plan. Maybe you were, you know, had put something in Google Maps and all of a sudden, oh, roadworks. Frustrating, got to go around it. Maybe it's in a career plan or something you'd plan for yourself. I once knew a young man who was like he was going for a footy career and he did an ACL. He did his knee 3 times in a row until at the age of 19, a doctor said to him, you've got to give up football. He was heartbroken. Mary's bumped off course. Her life is taking one course. She's engaged to be married. She's probably got these visions of like what it's going to be like. And then bang, there the angel is. All of a sudden, this thing happens. The angel, Gabriel, is sent to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. She is a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. I wonder what it was like to be in Mary's sandals. Just thinking about this, all of a sudden, the plans for her life are thrown out the window. Lynn Kohick, who we heard on the last clip, she says this, "This is not God imposing something upon a frightened young woman. This is a woman who demonstrates an incredible love for God that we see in the song that she sings of praise later that Luke tells us about. She's honored to be part of God working in history. That is what I sense from this story." Mary's response is amazing. It's amazing considering the life readjustment she is going to have to make. And it makes me think, because there's a danger to get frustrated when God changes our plans. Do you get frustrated when God all of a sudden changes your plans? As I alluded to earlier, I got frustrated when I ran into unplanned roadworks on Wednesday morning. You know, there's an account of a couple, here's a bit bigger situation, they wanted to be missionaries. One thought they wanted to go to one country. The other person initially thought they wanted to go to a different country. The only thing that they could both agree on was that they did not want to go to India for some reason. And of course, the country they ended up loving and serving for 15 years was India. And they could have been annoyed and said no to God's plans because it wasn't what they wanted, but they didn't do that. They just went where God was leading them. Mary is highly favored, but it doesn't equal an easy road. She's got to change her plans. In her setting, she will, at the very least, face some very, very, very difficult conversations ahead. People will talk. There'll be gossip.
Oh, did you hear Mary's pregnant? I wonder how that happened.
Can you imagine being her? She's probably only a teenager. God's plans are very rarely the easy road. In fact, they never are. And we shouldn't be surprised by that, even though we sometimes are. You know, it says in 1 Peter 4:12, dear friends, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. What are you surprised about? Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you. Ooh. As though something strange were happening to you. He's writing this to Christian people living during the time of Emperor Nero. He was kind of a maniac. Slide 10. Encounters open the way to great blessing, though, for us and for others. I mean, giving birth to the Son of God, is there a greater blessing than that? Sometimes we use this phrase, a sliding door moment, to describe situations in life. In 2011, some years ago, Alicia and I were renting a little flat in the suburb of Erskine, which is in Mandurah. And I'd preached that Sunday morning, and this was after some months, of where we were doing house hunting. And my goodness, and that's when it wasn't even bad. I wouldn't want to be house hunting these days. But anyway, and I was just done. I was so over going to home opens. If anyone's in this process at the moment, I pray for you. It's frustrating. And this Sunday afternoon, I'd been preaching that service, and I was comfortable. I was comfortable in our little rental, and I was even more comfortable on the couch, doing nothing. And Alicia found on her phone, there's one that's just come up. Can we go and have a look at it? I'm like, no. She's like, please, this will be the last one. How do you know that? So, because I'm really gracious. No. I said, fine. Jump in the car and we drove to the address 34 Cunderdon Loop. We lived in that house for the next 14 years. And it was an amazing place. We got to do so much ministry in that place. And it just, honestly, there is no way we should have got it at the price we got it for. Sliding doors. I often think, have I not gotten off that couch? Mary, she has an idea, as we've said, of where she wanted to go, but then an encounter. And there's a sliding door moment, isn't there? Have you ever asked the question, what if Mary stamps her feet and disagrees? What if she says, I don't want this? What if she even begrudgingly becomes the mother of Jesus? It's an interesting question to explore, isn't it? But she not only accepts it, she embraces it. And this sliding door moment, it opens up her life to a bigger life than she could ever have imagined. You found favor with God, it says in verse 30. You'll conceive, you'll give birth to a son. He will be great. He will be the ultimate fulfillment of what King David was just a shadow of, is what that verse is really saying. He will reign. His kingdom will never end. So what I'm saying, guys, is Mary's idea of her life was like this big. God's idea of her life was, my arm span's not big enough. Big. And Jesus says that as we follow him, as we receive, we don't just say yes, but we embrace it. We receive him fully. We live life to a full. He will blow our minds. He's blown my mind even in the last 24 months. But what does that mean? Does it mean it's always going to be bigger and better? No, not bigger and better. Because how would suffering and not an easy road fit into that? How about we put it this way? Maybe it means living a fuller life rather than bigger and better. A fuller, or maybe you could use the word a richer life for ourselves, for those we encounter, because God's math is different to ours. Mary gave up something. She gave up her imagined future reality for something else, but the blessing she received, and the blessing we receive through her, it's worth saying, through her obedience, was so much bigger than she could ever have imagined. Coming up to another clip, this happens today. I'm going to introduce you to this guy. His name's David Bennett. Have a listen to what he has to say.
I heard this voice say to me, "Do you want me?" And I realized that this was God in that moment. And so it was really hard because I heard the question again and again, three times. And at the final kind of, "Do you want me?" there was a reluctance in me. Like, "Well, who are you? I don't know you." And I just found myself saying, "Well, yes, if you're real, I'm open." I heard this voice say to me,
there can be a reluctance, can't there? There can be a reluctance. We also want to champion what God is doing in our own congregation. And maybe some of you have a story where you were reluctant and God came to you and said, "Hey, listen, this is the choice. This is where it's at." And you stepped over that line. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to play your story on the screen as well. But like Mary, many of us sitting here have had to learn an important lesson. Encounters, they don't come cheap. They don't come cheap. Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's servant." Have you ever watched someone who is just really unbelievably good at something? I'm a cricket fan. I went to the Perth Test some months ago, and we won the series, but in that particular game, India thrashed Australia. And it wasn't much fun, to be honest, watching us get absolutely belted. But I was watching Jasprit Bumrah bowl and just seeing someone who is just at the top of their game to be able to hurl a 156-gram ball at 90 miles an hour and hit the same spot over and over and over again. Yes, there's talent, but you know that since a boy there would have been thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours of coaching and practice to hone his craft. There would have been suffering in that. There would have been saying no to things so that he could go down to cricket practice and so on. Thousands of hours of discipline. It would have cost him something to be able to perform at that level. There's a cost. There's a cost to things. As we've said, Mary's world became so much bigger, but it comes at a cost. A cost to her. Okay, it's not the cost of, you know, practicing for thousands of hours, etc., but what is the cost? It's in that moment she decided to be dedicated to what God was seeking for her, not for what she was seeking for her. She says in verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant." She does not say, "I am the Lord's consultant." She does not say, "Definitely I am the Lord's boss." She does not say, "I am the Lord's pal." Insert whatever else there. "I am the Lord's servant." Have you said to God, "I am your servant, you are king"? You know that she means it because she says, "May your word to me be fulfilled." You know, sometimes we can say to God something like this: "May this part of your word to me be fulfilled. Just I'll take hold of this part though." No. "May your entire word concerning me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Bye. Why? Nothing more to say. You're done. You get it. I'm the Lord's servant. Have you said that to God? There's a cost to this encounter, a cost to the fuller life. Mary's giving up her own ways. She's saying, "I will do what my master, what my Lord wants. I will choose not to try and serve myself, but him." You know, and Jesus says that the way of following him is the way of dying to ourselves. Maybe you're here for the first time and you're going, "What the dying?" Well, Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25, "Take up your cross." The cross, this Roman implement that you die on, this implement of torture this thing that has become such a symbol that it's now on PowerPoint slides. Take up your cross every day as you die to yourself. That is the way to find life. Why? Why? Because you need a cross before you can get a resurrection. That's why. We don't need to be just kind of fixed. We don't need self-help. We need to be new people. We need to be living in resurrection power. And you need a cross in order to get a resurrection. It's this idea of dying to your own wants, to your own thoughts and desires, and embrace God's plan instead. And it's a great challenge because, hey, it's an individualistic age. But it reminds me of Jesus on the night that he was betrayed. He says this, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." And I think, you know, there's a few scholars that talk about this, but sometimes I don't think it's talked about enough. Jesus actually doesn't want to die on the cross. Like, he really doesn't want to. It's just one thing, though, guys. There's only thing that he wants more. That the Father be glorified. What about you? There's only one thing that Jesus does not want more than to avoid the cross altogether, and that is that the Father be glorified. Yet not my will, he says, but your will be done. So here's the deal. At least you know that Jesus plays by his own rules. He's consistent. There is nothing that he asks you or me or anyone that he has not done himself. To an infinite degree more. Surrender's not a dirty word. It's actually the doorway to resurrection. Do you need a resurrection today? We expect encounters at this church. I hope you know that. We expect encounters, not just because we're doing a certain series. We expect that God fills this place by his Spirit every Sunday. It's a wonderful place to be. But we don't always get the encounters that we expect. Are you willing? Are you willing to encounter God as he really is? Even if his word contains a challenge for you. Let's watch this final clip.
It's normative for human beings to hear God. The weird thing is when people don't. And I've been leading a prayer movement now for almost 25 years. And we continually are hearing stories, not just of people talking to God, but of God talking to people. And some of that is supernatural. It's, you know, angelic visitations, audible voices, but some is very natural. It's the still, small voice, it's your conscience, it's all of that. It's